Twice.
Everybody, you're now live on the Middleman Radio. This is the Middleman Talk Show with your boy Al.
And this is Kevin.
And this is Nick. What's good, people? Hey, man.
Good, brother.
Another day, another dollar, brother.
We definitely at it, man.
I got to apologize, y'all.
We left
Jen out. Yeah. Jen, I bet.
Kev,
Jen,
you got to. Look, she didn't.
I know, man. I got Al coming in late. I got, you know, Jen, I chewed her in too late. Sorry about that, y'all.
But you
I'm
going to
blame
the boys
20
though.
On me.
Whatever.
I think this is backlash from Jen's list.
It
right, because he don't want nobody to touch the boards. You know, he got on to me all last week because he didn't want nobody to touch the boards, but it's okay, though.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the wrong type of retaliation, brother.
Well, Jen, how was your
like
week?
This.
We're moving on from Kevin. Jen, how was your week,
okay.
Man?
It was, you know, it was kind of somber for our 4th of July. Like, this is, we didn't, like, grill out or anything. We just kind of chilled at home. So, I went shopping today to just take advantage of some of the Independence Day sales. But, you know, otherwise than that, it was just kind of a somber 4th of July.
There was a holiday
this weekend?
It was a holiday this weekend?
Right.
Man, shut the front door.
Oh, for somebody.
I know what the holiday was. I know the happy 15 days after Juneteenth, everybody.
There you go.
Yes. I mean, should we be shaming people for celebrating the 4th of July? Seriously.
No.
I mean, people got a right to celebrate what they want to celebrate, bro. I mean, it's all good.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
If you want
to
put on your
4th of July
outfit.
You know, to some people, it might be 4th of July, but to us, it could be National Cookout Family Day. You know?
Right.
That's what we can think of.
Right.
No,
National
Be
Off Work.
Celebrate what you want. Celebrate what you want. So.
Right. And how you want it, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I think that narrative should be changed because there's a lot of people that are shaming other people for celebrating the 4th. Fireworks
well,
and all
see, I'll say this much, and I see a whole lot of folks on my timeline, black folks, that all of a sudden this year celebrating Juneteenth. But I remember very distinctly some of those same folks last year were talking mess when I was celebrating, because I've been celebrating Juneteenth for a while, long time
right.
like that. And it was a whole bunch of black folks. Now all of a sudden, but you know what? It's like brother said, look, I don't care when you really wake up to it. Everybody's alarm clock is set to a different time. Just don't shame anybody for what they want to celebrate. Now, I'm telling you, Kwanzaa this year is going to be off the chain.
It's going to be lit, man. It's going to be lit, man. I can't wait.
Kwanzaa is going to be off
the chain.
Do you get a present for like 8 days? Do you get presents for like 8 days?
You're supposed to get something.
So, well, some families do in that way.
Right.
Some kind of
right.
keep it. You know what I think we need to do? I think we need to do a Kwanzaa show a little later in the fall because it does differ from household to household. But yet, to in a more simplistic way to answer your question, yeah, Jen, some families do They give gifts every day of Kwanzaa. And it's mm-hmm. it's correlating with the day.
Right.
Hmm.
And, like, each day has
no,
a different,
I want all
you know,
my
name and meaning
all
as
of
well.
Them.
So, yeah.
I say we start
you
a
know,
challenge, a Kwanzaa challenge.
Yeah, it would be very advantageous to me because I can give only 8 gifts and I can spend only $8. So that's pretty good.
But you have to be, it should correlate with the day. So, like, okay,
right.
for UJAMA, which means collective, cooperative economics, you know, an example of a gift for that day would be a gift that you purchase from someone within your community. Maybe someone has a business
mm-hmm.
or a black, maybe even a black business that you found online. You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It correlates with the
mm-hmm. day. Okay. Might have to do that, man. Might have to check that out. But I ain't spending over $8, though.
Hey, I'm geez,
cheap,
hey.
God.
We look, as long as you participate, man, we definitely appreciate you, bro. You know?
No, we don't.
It's all
we
about
don't appreciate no
man.
Dollar gift. No, you need to sit with the days like Nick said and get a gift that's appropriate for the day, and ain't no gift that costs a dollar appropriate for the day.
I mean, you never know what he may find, man, you know.
Hey, think about
you
it
know,
like this. It could even be something beneficial to you. So, like, let's call a spade a spade. You know, you drama cooperative
mm-hmm.
economics. Buy some food stamps from somebody in your neighborhood that got them. Look, just follow me to the store. I'm going to pay you $60 and get $90 worth of groceries.
Or buy a $100 CD from a black-owned bank for a child that you know.
Ah.
I like that. I like
or,
that.
Yeah, that and... buying stock in a black-owned company. Buy some stock in a black-owned company and gift it to your child.
That's a good one, too.
Right.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah,
like
we definitely got to do a Kwanzaa show.
I like that.
Okay.
I like that. Well, we definitely want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Middleman Talk Show today. We definitely had a show lined up with you guys on homeownership and real estate, but we're going to do that show at a later time and definitely get our special guest on that we had planned for that for you guys as well. So be on the lookout for that potential day. And last week we had a great show with our co-host Jen, her show entitled Jen's List. Jen, you want to speak a few words on that?
If you didn't watch it, you have to go back and listen to it. Go back and listen to the show from a couple of years ago as well. I give some great advice to the ladies about friendships, life, relationships,
mm-hmm.
and I hope you guys tune in.
Man,
I got a lot of good feedback about that show.
mm-hmm.
I got a lot of good feedback on that show. And that was one of our more downloaded shows in the last couple of years, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, one thing I want to give a shout-out to is everybody that participated on the poll that we put on our Middleman Talk Show Facebook page. It's still up. You still got time to vote on that from that show if you haven't heard it. Some of the topics that you had a choice to pick, what was the best part of that show and advice that Jen gave on Jen's List? One of the topics, one of the choices was spice it up, ladies in the bedroom. If
that
you,
was number one voted.
10, yep, if you want a 10, be a 10 yourself.
Did you say Astroglide?
What?
Jen.
Go ahead.
All right,
listen, these guys are so prudish. I have to say these extraordinary things to get them, you know, to lift their skirts up, you know, a couple of times a year. They are just so prudish.
Who is prudish?
Oh,
you know
God.
What, Jen? You need to do a Love After Dark show, and we'll see how prudish folk really are. Now, I'm just saying, we can do a Patreon exclusive show where Jen just goes into all of it, talking about prudish.
All right,
please,
well, on that poll, just go back over there. if you get the chance to go back on our talk show page on Facebook, you can check out that poll, vote, and listen to the show first. And then pick which one you think was the best advice that Jen gave for Jen's list. I think it was a great show, even though she
yep.
thought we was hating. It was a great show. It's not for the kids, so please don't play that in your speaker on Alexa or anything like that. Just make sure you got your headphones
don't
on
do
home, or ain't no kids around, so don't do that to yourself.
Kev was so nervous.
Yeah.
Hey, but on to today, man. We got a great show planned today. We're excited to see all our listeners on with us as well. But today we're going to do a show based on some hot topics of this past week or two. And we definitely want to hear your thoughts on these particular subject matters as well. So so what we're going to talk about today, recently crowned billionaire Kanye West has announced his, I guess you would say, potential candidacy for president of the United States. Is this really about the people, or is this a clever way of steering the support from Joe Biden? Also, Terry Crews this week has defended his Black Lives Matter tweet on the Roland Martin Unfiltered show. Is he more fearful of black supremacy than white supremacy? We also want to also talk about a Mississippi election commissioner who came under fire for her Facebook comments that said blacks are holding mass voter registration and that Mississippi must do the same. We definitely posted that particular link to that quote on our Facebook page, so you can actually read it in full, but we'll definitely go over that as well. But we want to hear your thoughts on that as well too. And also too, you all heard recently that the NFL announced that they will play the Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing, before the National Anthem the first week of games when the NFL season starts. We want to hear your thoughts on that as well too. And also Jemele Hill, you know, prominent, you know, sportscaster who was recently employed with ESPN and other stations as well, came under fire for saying that no black people know the words to that particular song. So we definitely want to hear your thoughts on that. We have some other things in which we're going to discuss. But I guess let's go ahead and get into it, guys. Let's go with Ye, man. Do we feel like Ye will do this thing? I mean, is this something that we think is true?
Man, if that dummy don't sit down, Lord have mercy.
Look at what he's been doing the last like, couple of years, right? He's been putting himself around political figures more. Now, I'm not saying he's actually going to do it, but he's trying something.
Al, I'll tell you what I think he's trying. Oh, go ahead, Kev. I'm sorry.
Hey, I just want to say this. First off, for everybody thinking that he can run in 2020, we need to go back to school and learn civics.
Exactly.
You
can't do it in
2020. You can't do it right now. It's past
right,
that point.
Right.
We have our Democratic nominee
right.
and we have our Republican nominee already set.
But
so
he
can't
run next
interfere
time.
In that.
He
can
run
next
time,
but ain't nobody going
right.
I ain't gonna say nobody gonna vote for him. I can't say that because they
don't
voted
say
for
that
Donald
because
Trump.
We said the same.
I'm not gonna
exactly.
say that. We yeah.
exactly.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say that. But it wouldn't be wise to vote for him if he does decide to run for president. He is not the guy. Everybody be walking around looking like slaves for real in them Yeezys.
No. So here's the thing. In order to do, you have to qualify state by state. And unfortunately,
correct.
There is not a system where any independent candidate has ballot access to 270 electoral votes. It's just
right.
it's mathematically impossible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's mathematically impossible. But in addition to that, he may be trying to do support for a write-in. The problem
yeah.
that I have with this is I think this is his way because Trump supporters are Trump supporters. I don't think anybody is going to say, oh, okay, yeah, we like Kanye West because he's like President Trump and all of a sudden he's running against him. So you're not going to flip Trump voters. But so what you're going to do is you're going to siphon off from Biden's campaign. This is just Jill Stein 2020. And that's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a concerted effort to pull votes away from, particularly black votes, away from Joe Biden.
I agree. I agree.
I wish he would just go sit. Oh, wait, this show isn't. We got kids here this time. I can't do like I was doing last. He needs to go sit
But
down.
Also, too, Nick, we also got to think about this as well, too, right? We know what type of, I guess you would say, what we've seen from Kanye the last past couple of years, right? He's been trying to, I guess you would say to ascend to different levels. Now, I'm not saying he's actually going to do this, right? But do we feel like he's trying to put his hands in more of the political pot arena?
No, I think it's just a distraction.
Correct.
I think it's just him trying to promote that album.
I think he thinks he is. And I don't think he thinks he is for running. I think that Kanye feels like, and he's spoken of this. I think that, you know, since his billionaire status, I think he feels like he's in a circle now with this new elite type people, and he's trying to continue to build his portfolio. Now, I will say this. Mm-hmm. He does have his crazy mm-hmm. moments. He does have some good ideas. Mm-hmm. Like, he had, like, this compound where he was building, like, these solar paneled houses, like, for homeless people. Like, he has some good ideas. I think that the political circle is not his realm where he could be most effective if he's going to try to, you know, have change. But, you know, I don't think that he's, you know, all the time. I think he goes off his meds and then gets a phone and starts doing crazy stuff. But I think that, you know, he does have some good ideas about some of the things that he wants to do.
Well, here's the thing, though, Jen. Even a broken clock is right two times a day. Like, people have good ideas all the time. That doesn't mean that, one, that person needs to be in position to implement those good ideas, because good ideas, you and I can sit here and we can pull up a whole plan to completely pull the United States out of its economic downturn right now, but that doesn't mean that it's going to get actually done. If we want to talk about somebody who realistically has good ideas, has been implementing them for years, has the money to put up at least somewhat of a fight, and is already qualified on most of the ballots where he needs to go, then that would be Tom Steyer. And since he's not the Democratic candidate, he could very well run as an independent, and you have a bit of a Ross Perot situation. But if Ross Perot wasn't but the best example of it, of how it siphons off votes or it can actually turn votes, look at the votes that Ross Perot gathered in the 92 election,
mm-hmm.
and how that turned to Clinton after he dropped out. This is just a reverse action, and that's why I'm saying, like, no, I don't think that for a second Kanye actually intends and realistically believes that he has a shot in hell mm-hmm. of being president. The problem is he's going to siphon votes not from the Republican Party, not from independents, but from Black Democratic voters, most particularly Black men. And I think that and that's the part we got to really dig into, because ain't no Black woman voting for Kanye West president. Let's call a spade a spade. I don't care how much they may hate Joe Biden.
I think you've tapped into something very interesting, that I think that there is a segment of Black men that are so anti-Democratic Party that they're lured in with gimmicky pulls by the right, because they, you know, they seem to be intellectually appealing to some of the struggles or personal things, especially lower upper middle class Black Americans, because I see it on Facebook, these conversations that go on where, you know, they take these with clickbait ads that seem like, you know, I see a lot of Black males defending Trump on Facebook lately. And I think people like that would be attractive and be more harmful to the cause than anything.
Right. So speaking about that, let's move towards Terry Crews, you know, in his comments towards the Black Lives Better tweet. I think we have a clip that we want to play for you guys so we can start this conversation. Kevin, let's go ahead and get into this clip.
Hold on for a sec. Before we play a tweet, because if everyone has not heard the – if everyone has not read the tweet, I do just want to read it just really quickly. Terry Crews, who put his foot in his mouth more than enough times, tweeted that hold on, let me pull it up. Okay, he said, "If you are a child of God, you are my brother and my sister. I have a family. I have family of every race, creed, and ideology. We must ensure that Black Lives Matter doesn't morph into Black Lives Better." And as usual, they came down on him. So, Kev, go ahead and play that tweet. Now, I mean, play that clip.
Yeah,
I want to get you guys' opinion on this afterwards.
All right. Here we go.
And let me tell you something. What's so wild is that our community, you have to be one way. You have to be swinging and punching and fighting. And I'm not that dude. I've always been this corny dude who's asking tons of questions. And I want people to know it's okay. It's okay. And first of all, I love my people. I love Black Lives Matter. But I also feel at this moment in time, you mentioned this is like a third Reconstruction, and that this Reconstruction has to include every voice in America, the Native American, the Asian, the Hispanic, the white, everybody has to be included. And I don't want to go from one oppressor to the next. First of all, I was never scared of the KKK growing up. Never. You know what I was scared of? I was scared of that gang member. I was scared of that drug dealer. And I had to walk through to get to my school every day that I had to fight to get in and try to make it work. And let me tell you something, that's millions and millions of Black kids right now who scared to speak, scared to say what's up in their own community.
That clip was from Terry's discussion with Roland Martin on Roland Martin Unfiltered this past week. What do you guys think of that, plus, you know, his tweet and then his further explanation? And for all context, folks, the entire clip was 35 minutes, so we're actually going to post the entire clip into the Middleman Facebook group. If you're not already in the Middleman Facebook group, please head on over there. Click join. We'd love to have you. Lots of great discussion over there, some serious, some not serious. But what do you guys think of his tweet and then his explanation there afterwards?
His tweet was his true feelings. The response on Roland's show was him just backpedaling to try to save face in the Black community. He did have a valid point on Roland's show. There are certain things and elements when he said he didn't have to worry about the KKK. He had to worry about, you know, the gang members or the drug dealers, and he had to fight his way to get to school or whatnot, whatever. That's a reality for him. In some places in America, those are things that kids and Black people deal with. We have to fight our own to achieve and go to a higher level at times, because there are certain elements that will block you or physically block you from getting to that next level. So I have no problem with the comments that he made on Roland Martin, but more so the tweet, because it was way out of line. I don't think he thought it through, and it was ignorant. You know, I mean, he's old enough to know better.
Yeah, but he constantly puts his foot in his mouth with these things and then tries to backpedal. Like, I can't lie. You know, I figured it was going to be – because he did the exact same thing when it came to Gabrielle Union, how he was just like, oh, no, when I'm on AGT, there's no problem there. But you know that you and Gabrielle are two of the only Black people associated with that show, and you just kind of left his sister out to dry, you know, out to hang by herself. I think the biggest problem that I have with the tweet, along with the stuff that he continued to say in the entire 35 clip, is while I agree that we're allowed to have other views, and that, and Black people have been saying that for the longest, we're not all the same, we don't all think the same, and it's crazy to even think that Black people do. But the problem is, at what point, when he says, I don't want to trade one oppressor for the other, what in American history indicates to you, Terry Crews, that Black people are or have the potential or even the history of being the oppressor? I don't understand that.
Right.
So that's how I think.
Because we've been conditioned, so many of us have been conditioned to adjust everything we have to satisfy white people. Because if we want to fit in, that's what his white friends say, probably in the circles that, you know, those are straight, click, you know, what white people say, especially the undercover racists that think that Terry Crews is their friend, which makes them non-racist. They say things like that. And to fit in with them,
then,
it fits right into it. We have a thing where we always adjusting ourselves to make white people happy. We need to stop it.
Also, too, and I'm gonna build on to what Nick Engine was saying. When I also listened to what he was saying as well, too, and then also with the tweet, I look at it as it's like he's still putting the blame on Black people, right?
Yeah.
Instead of, like, what you could have said, Terry, instead of angling your conversation towards one direction, you could have put it as, well, we as a whole, as people, have things in which we have that we are going through as a whole as people, right? But in order for us to live safely and be at a level in which we all can experience some type of happiness, these are the things in which, you know, I feel should occur. He should have also talked about, like, the positive things that are going on right now. Because to me, like, even when he was trying to clean it up, saying that I like Black Lives Matter, I love Black people.
He sounds like a white person trying to say he's not racist.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Why do you have to say that? You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't have to say that at all. You should have been like, yeah, I'm proud to be, you know, Black, and I support, you know, my people out here going through this struggle, because I'm going through it too. My struggle was different, but hey, my struggle is still a particular struggle. Now, yes, everybody has their regional things that we go through, but a struggle is a struggle, bro. Are you willing to help pull somebody out of the struggle? That's the question that I want to know. I mean, yeah, that's the answer that I want.
And I don't appreciate the gangbanger, because that's the same thing as saying, like, well, Black people,
he blaming.
Black people. Every day, yeah,
he blaming.
But
what about Chicago?
There's nothing to the systematic racism that happens to Black and brown children that grow up
Correct.
In inner cities that may not interact with KKK.
Well,
they interact with systematic racism on a daily basis that ruins a lot of Black and brown children's lives yearly.
Jen, that might be true to a certain degree, but Jen, some people do live their life. If you live in California, you do have to worry about the gangbangers. You do have to worry about the drug dealers. You know what I'm saying?
But
you
that's
live
why
in Chicago. You got to worry about that.
But it's systematic racism and born out
exactly,
of it.
That is correct.
Gang,
and for Jen, that is correct.
Formed?
That is correct.
Hold on.
That is
hold
correct.
On. Hold on. Jen, then Al.
Well, I think that the whole gangbanger theory, why are there gangs? Because of poverty. Why are there different things that are happening? You may not be facing people in hoods, but you're facing police brutality. You're facing gangs,
exactly.
And a lot of the people, a
exactly.
lot of gang members are part of the prison to school to prison pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
Those are
mm-hmm.
the roots of that's like the top of the tree. Gangbanging
is
the top of the tree. The roots of the tree is systematic racism in this country.
That is
so a lot of people want to just address the tree, but never address the roots, and want to satisfy us with that white people clickbait by just talking about the top of the tree, but you never talk about what's up under the ground.
Exactly. Thank you, Jen. Thank you. Thank you. Because even the whole, I mean, I understand that he wanna, you know, that he utilized the terminology gangbangers or whatever. But when you utilize that particular terminology on a platform like that, people are automatically thinking you're talking about who? Black people. Right?
Yep.
And all Black people are not gang members, bro. You know what I'm saying? And like every person in your neighborhood was not a gang member. But I do understand.
I had some in mind.
That was a particular struggle for you, so don't minimize anybody else's struggle, bro, because that's what it sounds like to me. Like, he's minimizing stuff, man.
But here's the thing, everybody has some. Every culture has a segment of society that is detrimental in some part to
mm-hmm.
the rest of them. Everyone. And
right.
when you consider that most of your gangs started out as protection from
Correct.
Police brutality
Something.
To end
mm-hmm.
point,
mm-hmm.
protection,
mm-hmm.
and then you had expansion because some of those members went to jail. And when you get into jail and you're surrounded by, and you're a Black guy surrounded by all these members of the Aryan Brotherhood, okay, let me just collectively get with some more people and just be honest. You got some unsightly people who were a part of these protection groups. They started as protection groups.
Mm.
Okay.
I think we got a caller.
We do have a caller. Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Bill from Hear Me Out. What's going on, brother?
What's up? Can everybody hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So I was just saying this right here, and this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but yay 2020. You know, I don't know where he's going to be at, but yay 2020.
Okay.
Stop it.
Okay.
Stop it.
Kanye, you're going to have everybody walking around the country and then Jesus 11.
Oh, man.
And while I grew up in the neighborhood full of black people, I mean, seriously, I mean, well, full of gangbangers, excuse me. I mean, when you think about that term, yeah, I understand that gangs are, you know, everywhere in the world. But, I mean, it's the fact that the media portrays gangs as being predominantly black people. And so when you look at stuff like that, when people say things like that, I mean, that's the notion that you get. Another thing is his statement on Twitter. I mean, I think, and I think Dan touched on this earlier. You know, the fact of just trying to pull, or trying to, I guess, win over the white man or the white woman, whoever it may be. I think we definitely need to get out of that mindset. And honestly, if I can be honest with you, I don't think the white people even probably said anything to Terrence Crews. But because of the person that he calls himself, so corny and all, he probably spoke up about it.
Bill, I think you're going out. Bill, I think you're going out.
It's not about being white. It's about getting the justice that we deserve at this point.
Yeah, I think
Bill,
you're going out.
Get back to you.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah, call back. Call back in, Bill.
Yeah, we got
better services. But I understand what Bill was saying as well too. You know, because just like I just said, like when you hear the name or the term "game," like most people automatically think who black people, right? And so like that's still like he was just to me that whole thing was just like a little blame and a little cover, man. Like I don't want to hear nothing to Ted Cruz. Like don't like I just don't, man. I just don't, because he's so conflicted with himself, man. Like, I really don't know what to believe from him.
Well, can I just address something about this whole gang thing and just crime in the... Let's be honest. America does and has always loved crime. We sensationalize crime, and we sensationalize it from every single culture except black people. There would not be a Las Vegas, Nevada if it were not for Bugsy Siegel looking to wash some of his money in 1946. We're not going to act like Italian mobsters weren't essentially handed the fire department in New York, Irish mobsters handed the police department in Massachusetts. Like, let's not act like gangs are sensationalized in such a way. Let's not act like Sons of Anarchy was not the biggest show for 5 years.
Correct.
And as long as it's, and even when you go now, it's sensationalized when they talk about the Hells Angels. It's sensationalized when they talk about the Bandidos. I worked Harley Davidson events from 2010 to 2016. And you want to know what? They rolled out the red carpet for the Hells Angels and the Bandidos. I watched them literally get ready to spar in the middle of the road, and the cops just walked away. We sensationalize gangs. We have mobster costumes for kids for Halloween, but when it comes to black gangs, all of a sudden, now it's about the crime. Now it's about being a detriment to society. America has always loved crime. Always.
Right. I agree.
And have three panels that play 24/7 with white-on-white crime.
Correct.
Killing each other on the ID channel and snaps and everything else on their white on white crime.
Right.
Hey, for the sake of the show, I'm gonna hold my opinion because I do have something to say, you know. But I'm gonna leave it alone. Let's move on to the next part of this topic for today, please.
All right, now let's move on to the Mississippi Elections Commissioner, who made the comments about, you know, the blacks holding mass voter registration and that Mississippi needs to stand up for their rights and prevent this. So one of our co-hosts, Nick Eaton, was also in a push to make sure that this information got out there to the right people so they can actually see that this person who is in an elected office is actually, you know, supposed to be nonpartisan, if I'm not mistaken, you know, speaking about this. So, Nick, would you like to elaborate on that?
Sure. And I touched on it just a little bit last week, but essentially what happened was Jones County District 1 Election Commissioner Gail Harrison Welsh tweeted, well, she didn't tweet, she responded to a post on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, and what she said was, I'm an election commissioner in Jones County. I'm concerned about voter registration in Mississippi. The blacks are having lots of events for voter registration. People in Mississippi have to get involved, too. Thanks for all you do. So I took a screenshot of this along with her information, and I actually tweeted this information to Tate Reeves, the governor of Mississippi, Michael Watson, Secretary of State, as well as some other media outlets like Mississippi Today, Jackson Free Press, Roland Martin Unfiltered. And it did start to pick up some legs, even to the point that Secretary Watson actually reached out to me about helping with some voter registration things. Actually within the state of Mississippi. Here's the thing now. It's gotten a lot of legs, and, again, I've been blocked by Gail Harrison Welsh, so I don't know if she's responded to anything. However, I do want to give a huge shout-out to Lisi Harrington, who did put the story in the – and, unfortunately, I was not able to I wasn't able to get to interview with her, but Lisi is a writer for the Hattiesburg American. And so the story has picked up legs, and a lot of people, both private citizens and public officials, are calling for Welsh to resign. What I will say is this. This is an election year for the election commission in Jones County. And Jones County is about 37% black. And right now what I'm looking to do, and I'll go ahead and just – this is the first time I'm publicly talking about it. What I'm looking to do is organize the biggest voter registration rally in Jones County. And I'm going to be out there. I've already started to reach out to some of my people that do voter registration in Mississippi. I'm reaching out to all Divine Nine. I know we have to safely socially distance the whole nine, but I'm going to make sure she sees a lot of, quote-unquote, the blacks in her county for the next few months. This is not just an isolated incident, and this is why I keep saying her name, Gail Harrison Welsh, because I want everybody to be very familiar with it. You get the full name, just like A Tribe Called Quest, Gail Harrison Welsh. It also speaks to things that are happening with a lot of these elected officials that are in these smaller areas that think they can say whatever the hell they want, and because they're not in the national spotlight, it won't get blown up.
Now, there's like another situation as well, too, Nicky, Mississippi, in Columbus, Mississippi, Kevin and I's hometown, where the president of the Lowndes County Board of Supervisors also had something, you know, to say about black people as well. And I have this particular quote. This is Harry Sanders, president, well, used to be president of the Lowndes County Board of Supervisors. The quote states, in my opinion, they were slaves. And because of that, they didn't have to go out and earn any money. They didn't have to do anything. Whoever owned them took care of them, fed them, clothed them, and worked them. They became dependent, and that dependency is still there. The Democrats right here who depend on the black vote to get elected, they make them dependent on them. This is Harry Sanders, June 16, 2020. This is his quote. So he refused to step down the fort, but there had been several rallies in Columbus. Because we're all, you know, there were also rallies about removing some of the Confederate statues as well, too. And so, and I think on June 30th, he finally stepped down. But, yes, I mean, like, people's true colors are, you know, they've already been known, right? It's just that these people have been, you know, constantly in these positions, I guess you would say, of power, and continue to control. So like Nick said, it is your right to get out there and vote. It is your right to get out there and actually, you know, make some change, man. Get these people up out of office, man. And I see we got a caller that want to get in.
Hello. Hold on 1 second. What? Wrong button here. There we go.
Yeah. All right.
Cool. Out of AG.
Yeah. How's it going, gentlemen and ladies? Y'all, ladies, listen.
What's going on, Smitty?
Good, good. Couple of quick things. All right. Oh, Lord, my mortal enemy right there. But I'm kidding. But I know y'all, people talk about all this stuff that's going on. First, Terry Crews, the biggest waste of muscles ever. I ain't even seen a man so muscular who's so timid and weak. But one thing I want to touch on is two quick things. Like seeing some of these basketball players say they want going to HBCUs. I tell it, we all about the same age group. and I tell kids this, if you have talent, they will find you. And one of the top 5-10 college quarterbacks ever, Steve McNair, went to Alcorn State, and ESPN was televised. It wasn't no SWAC game of the week either, no ACC game of the week. They just televised his game. He threw a 5,600 yards, like four, 40 touchdown passes with rush for another 900 yards his last season. He was that special, so they found him, they televised his game. And I read up on him. Florida offered him a scholarship to play running back. And that was when Danny Werfel was there. You know how much talented Steve McNair was and Danny Werfel. And look at what he could have won. But they will find you if you want to go there to those colleges. And I think basketball will make more of an immediate impact than football because of sheer numbers and years recruiting in the trenches with that. But, hey, but they'll find you if you go wherever. But also, my issue, like a lot of times on this Black Lives Matter stuff, if people actually read the Black Lives Matter credo, they won't be following that group. But also the symbolism people keep giving us. They paint Black Lives Matter on the street. They NBA gonna paint on the court. All that's nice and all. Playing a black national anthem or whatever on NFL game.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice and all. Breonna Taylor Killer still ain't been arrested. Many black people who are unarmed black folks killed by police still aren't even going to prison. We still the poorest group in the
George
country.
George Zimmerman still walking around freely.
Yeah. So what the hell is a song and point and paint a slogan going to do? We had symbolism. The last guy was in office. They had to break into y'all, but that's how it was. But we had, like, when they talk about voting, the brother talked about voting earlier. I remember that. It's not just voting. It's that understanding that they work for us. Voting is business. Voting is about saying, are you going to do this for us? And if you don't do it, you will find somebody that will. I don't want to hear the excuses. I'm not talking about anybody here. I'm just saying I'm going on a rant. I don't want to hear the excuses of they won't let me. They won't let me. This ain't, I don't want to hear those excuses. Because, hey, if you can't do it, we'll find somebody that will. Because a couple weeks ago, a conservative Supreme Court voted for policy that will help out the LGBTQ. I missed a letter or two. I apologize out there. And DACA, who people came over illegally. There's a conservative that did this. And so I don't want to hear black folks telling me what folks can't do. If you can't do it, why in the hell are you there? And I'm a grown – and, hey, I'm not about to sit here and say I'll let you do this. No. And if they don't like it, tough crap, because I'm a president, a mayor, a governor. Because we talk about the president can't do – we make excuses for black politicians all the time, local and federal. But, yeah, you got white politicians not afraid to wield power or do things for other groups. And that we got these – and I say my last thing also. Black folks, yes, I know the Washington Redskins name is offensive. But I know that y'all want to say that we got more voices out there than Native Americans. Hey, those very few voices in the Native American community seen that got the casino game on lock and tribal funding to be a quarter Native American. So guess what? I want to say Native Americans out there, since black folks are more out front than y'all about fighting to get the Washington Redskins name changed, can y'all please do us a solid and cut us in that casino business? Or let's get some of that tribal fund that we don't get because we got to get student loans like everybody else. And that's all I got right now.
Hey, we appreciate that, Smitty, man, that whole rundown, you know what I'm saying? I definitely want to bring back what he was talking about with the Black National Anthem. With the NFL playing at, you know, for week one, right? So, and we see, you know, like you said, like they're putting stickers of Black Lives Matter everywhere on any particular, I guess you would say, corporation, right? But that's just like my mother taking me to McDonald's and I get a Happy Meal, and inside my Happy Meal, I get a toy. That's what it feels like to me, the toy. No particular change, no big deal, like no big change. But at least I know I'm just going to get, you know, they're going to give me just a little something. And that's what it is to me. That's what it feels like to me. What are your thoughts?
Al, wait a minute. Al, wait. Did you say McDonald's? God.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I'm trying to find something as small as possible, man. McDonald's.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, I'm not going to be on the show next week because I got to go to McDonald's.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
Oh, my God.
I know it's a serious topic, but. Yeah. You felt that thing, boy. I'm going to McDonald's. Get a sandwich.
<Hey. laughs> But that's what they're doing. What they're doing. Like,
yeah, okay.
Instead of doing that, right, like, what more could the NFL have done? Like, you gave us a song for 1 week. Like, that's all y'all going to do? That's just like going to McDonald's and getting a toy. Like, that's it.
Why are we surprised? This is the NFL we're
exactly.
talking about.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why are we surprised?
That's what I'm saying as far as about, like, when those corporations do those little smaller things, that's what it is. They give you just a little something.
Now, here's the other part to that, though. Here's the other part to that. You get a lot of people, and let's call it what it is, you get a lot of white people on Twitter and Facebook talking about how they're going to take a kneel, you know, during the Black National Anthem. At this point, you are just putting it out there where your bias really lies. Because even if you break down the lyrics of the National Anthem and Lift Every Voice and Sing, realistically, the Lift Every Voice and Sing aligns more with what America says it is lyrically than the National Anthem. It aligns so much more than for what they say this is what America is about, that is Lift Every Voice and Sing through and through. So I'm not into some, you know, I agree with Smitty. I'm not into symbolic victories. I'm not into it because it doesn't, what is it really going to do? Is it seriously going to do?
Exactly.
Well, one of the things that Stephen A. Smith and one of the sports writers was talking about the other day, I think it's like 0.001138 of what the annual income is, what they're donating to different organizations, especially Black Lives Matters, what the NFL is doing. So they're not even giving a fraction of their money towards these these organizations. Over that 20-year
Happy
period
meal.
Of time that they said they donate that money.
Happy meal.
So, yeah.
Happy meals.
The thing is,
Happy
man,
meal.
we as a people, like Nick said, we got to get beyond
beyond
the symbolic victories and go to the point where when we do ask for something or demand for things, there got to be some type of substance to it beyond this bull. That they constantly always giving us, like, we're going to give you this and just be happy. Go over there and, as you just said, Al, a happy meal. Just go over there and be happy. Play with your toy, and we're going to continuously do what we do. And then once
y'all
get back again, we'll give you this little stuff and hope you be happy for another couple of years.
That's it.
Because I don't care about being,
also,
I don't care about Black Miles being
playing
on the ground.
The Black organizations that they give to. Now, I might make some people upset when I say this, but there are a lot of just go-to Black organizations that, you know, big corporations donate to that don't really do a whole lot for the Black community. And we need to start highlighting some of these organizations that do struggle, that do real grassroots work, that could benefit from money. We need to, instead of just accepting, well, I'm just going to donate $1 million to the NAACP. And we don't know, where does that go? How does that work?
Or the National Urban League. Where
is that money going?
Well, it's funny you say that, Jen, because it's more than that. When you look at the case with Byron Allen and Comcast, you know, a couple of things that came to light. One, you know, you have people in these companies who – their entire job is to give money to organizations to drum up that support. When you think about how NAACP initially came out in support of Comcast during the Byron Allen case, and then they had to retract their statement. But when you look up and it's like, oh, well, the NAACP was also given like $25 million by Comcast. So I think that's a very important aspect to it, because just because somebody brown don't mean they down all skin folk and kin folk. And the reality is, where can they show tangibly that that money has gone? I've seen situations where 100 black men of America, they get money and they go and do exactly what they set out to do when they formed the organization, and that's help at-risk black teens. They can show you their books and what they're actually doing, but they also don't get money from places like Comcast and AT&T and all these other companies. But
yeah, because it's happening. They get in bed with people like the NAACP. Like Al said, they pat us on the head and give us our little, you know, check and say, okay, go in the corner and don't say anything. Don't be loud. Don't
right.
cause a ruckus. And everything is going to go back to normal. No, I want my money to go to so and so. No, I want my money to go to this community. No, I want this. We need to start listing out our wants and being very vocal of it instead of just accepting that Massa let us eat chicken on Thursday, and so we should still keep loving Massa.
That's true. I think we got Bill back in. Let's go ahead and bring Bill back in.
What's up, everybody?
You live, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead, brother.
All right. Cool. Me. So, listen, I'm sorry my phone was messing up, but definitely I think that we do need to have some accountability with it, especially when it comes to money giving, receiving money, because a lot of this money that is being given is just kind of hush money. The one thing that I see a lot of people say is that they don't want the Black Lives Matter movement to become a marketing scheme. And that's what it's becoming, especially for the NFL, because you got somebody that spoke up about it, that didn't speak up, didn't say anything about it, didn't have anything to do with Colin Kaepernick. But then all of a sudden you want to go, you're not going to drop little pins and needles here. You're going to go straight forward and do the Black National Anthem. Like, what is this? Like, you're just going to go straight to it. Another thing is, I think that we, and I think someone was alluding to it at first, we got to hold ourselves accountable, just like we do with the 100 black men of America. They take that money and they use that money for good reasons. And then, as well as, like I said in the previous show when we were talking about HBCUs, I think that we also need to get out of this mindset that people like Howard, Dillard, and all these, you know, other illustrious HBCUs are the only ones that you can donate to. There are over 50 other,
I think it's 107 total.
How much? 107 total. I apologize, my math is a little off, but you got 107 HBCUs and you only want to give to like three to five of them. Like, it's just a marketing thing. And then, as well as, we have to look at the bigger scope of it. Like, these people, overall, we have been missing out on this money, if we really want to think about it, because these organizations, they have a standard which they have to give money out each year. But that's why we need to hold ourselves accountable, because we can go and apply for that money that they're giving out. I know, for instance, I know a company I worked for at one point, they had a specific time frame where they gave out money. But it's just a matter of us going out and get it. So if you're a black owned company, or if you're somebody that's standing up for the people, I tell you to go and take the money that's owed to us and just use it for the right reasons.
Definitely. Bill, I know I want you to stay on because I want to get your thoughts. I know we got Smitty waiting on, but just as another portion of this talk with the NFL and the national anthem, Jemele Hill was tweeting, as she usually does, and after this announcement, she tweeted, "I can't wait until the NFL figures out that nobody black knows the second verse of Lift Every Voice and Sing." So I'd love to get Smitty and Bill's comments on that, as long with the rest of the show. Smitty, you on?
Yeah, let's bring back in Smitty, man.
Oh, yeah. Man, to be honest, I barely get through the first verse, to be honest with you. But and I ain't trying to be funny. It's just how it is. We don't hear those songs. I only know the words of the national anthem when I was in the military.
Ain't paying attention to nothing then. That ain't, you can't put that on black folks. That's just you.
Yeah, you ain't lying. But you know, there are a lot of things in our history that a lot of us didn't know because we found out because of social media. And that's a good way of passing information. But
right.
I still think that what happened is that this tried and true method that white people do to pacify us was entertaining, singing songs, talking about the type of food we eat, thinking that's going to pacify us. It's not. And I'll say this real quick. I wanted to say this. Like the brother was right about giving other HBCUs. Like Alabama State, where I'm from, Tuskegee, right around there, Miles, all these black colleges there. And you had talent, athletes, and business people come from there. But also the NBA bubble, right? I know y'all probably touched on that. It's y'all know the NBA was spending like over $100 million for all those amenities there for the bubble, the catering, DJs, all that. If I want those NBA players, and you know they don't respond to tweets most of the time, so they don't hear me, and people got mad at me on Facebook for saying this. How they hire any black business in the Orlando area? Like, there's a lot of black women who cater, black barbers, DJs, security, any cleaning services. That is where the real change come in, that you really are about helping black people, where you're giving contracts to those black businesses where they can put other black people to work and help us economically. Because at the end of the day, my son, I don't have kids, but if I did, I'd be like, my son couldn't eat no damn song or no slogan. And I think that's the big thing. They are getting around social economics, a number one issue. That's what they're not addressing that, nor do they want to, but it's up to us to keep the foot on their throats about that.
Well, Smitty, as long as our people keep chasing the rabbit, you know what I'm saying, we ain't going to never get any resolve or resolutions for what we really want. Because that's all we do. Sometimes we chase the rabbit. And that rabbit is a symbolic gesture that they do all the time.
Yep.
One second. We're going to go ahead and bring Bill back in and get his thought. Then we're going to go ahead and move on with the topic. Bill, go ahead with your thoughts.
Go ahead and mute me, though, man. Go ahead and mute me, man. I'll listen to the rest.
Okay. All right.
So I'm going to be honest with you. I'm like Smitty, man. I probably don't even know the second stanza. You know
Bill,
what I'm saying?
Went to an HBCU.
Yes, I know, man. I know. Listen, it's been 2 years for me. I'm going to say that. It's been
University
101
at every HBCU, University 101, you learn it.
Which is why they got Jemele Hill straight on that. She said she actually retracted her tweet a little bit, and she was like, It's a lot of black people on my mentions telling me how wrong I am. I believe the HBCU alums, but the rest of y'all ain't no way y'all know all three verses like that. Here's the thing.
But hear me out. That's not me trying to put my thing in, but just hear me out. I'm trying to see how I can put this. That song, yes, we understand what it means to our culture. We definitely do, but it's so like out there to the point where we found new things that symbolize us. Where so, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, we'll sing it when we get around our elders, because that's the song that they were brought up on. That's a song that means such as it does. Like when you. It's all gonna hit you, but at the same time, like there's a lot of people. Not speaking for myself, but like there, I believe there's some people in my generation that look at the song like, yes, it's touching, it's there. But at the same time, we have something else that we can. We have something in our area, air era that we could use that has the same meaning as "It's Every Voice and Sing."
Why not both?
I mean, I'm not saying that they can't. I'm not saying that they can't. Coincide together. I definitely believe that that song could have a great meaning in this time as well. But I just think that we have to think about the generations that we're dealing with as well. Like, what attracts them? You get what I'm saying? So
I get what you're saying, but that ain't no excuse. That ain't no excuse.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not making an excuse at all. By no means. I feel like everybody should know the song. I'm going to beat myself over it. I'm pretty sure my eight people are going to beat me up over it as well once they hear this.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like,
glad
I just, those are my personal opinions. You know, I definitely feel like everybody should know that song. I'm not sure if he's going to hear it. Because that's just that's the way I was brought up as well. I'm not saying it shouldn't or nobody should learn it or it should stop. It should be a C.
Hey,
the whole argument
that should stay in us.
the whole argument, if I can say this, with Confederate flags is paying homage to their heritage. We as a people need to do a better job about honoring our ancestors and letting the young people know. You may can't relate to it, but that song comes from, that's why you learned it in University 101. Song comes from your people. That song comes from a time that shall never be forgotten. It's a song of our ancestors, and we need to preach to the young people to have more respect for the ancestors and things that were special to them, and to carry on those traditions for the children
of the
future.
Please let me say this, okay? I do not, when we're speaking about this, I don't speak for everybody, okay? My young people get enough backlash as is already. But it may be people that know the song. It's just me, personally. I'm going to say I don't know the song because I don't know the second stanza. You get what I'm saying? But for other people, they may feel different about it. Like I said, the song, I know what the song stands for, and I'm pretty sure other people stand for it. And, Jen, you're right. We should respect it just as well as the Confederate respects it. So that's something that I have to take with me, and I have to, you know, be able to say, hey, that's something I need to get better. Just every voice
right.
is seen, and just like all the rest of the Negro spirituals that they would say.
That boy said Negro spiritual. Bill, we're going to stop you right here.
Right here. And Bill, I'm going to need you to get rid of Cricket.
Listen.
I'm going to need you to get rid of Cricket, Bill.
Bill, another thing, too, just not that we're not cutting you off. We just want to move on with the show before we run out of time.
No, you're good.
Number one.
You're good.
Just stay on. And yeah, work on that phone, and we ain't going to call our phone Negro spirituals again. Now, quickly, I know we were going to talk about the Redskins and the pressure that's mounting with them changing their name. Just in a short sum it up, change your name. I think other people in this world is mad about that. Just change your name and let it go. I like to watch the Caucasians.
I got a name. The Washington McDonald's.
Right with the toy.
Can't let it go. Now, lastly, if we could talk about what just happened this past weekend in Stone Mountain with NFAC Militia Group. A lot of y'all may have seen these black brothers and sisters walking in Stone Mountain. A lot of people had a confusion and thought they were the new Black Panther Party. They are not that. They are not associated with Black Lives Matter. They're not associated with anything but their militia, and that NFAC stands for Not Effing Around Coalition. They're effing, y'all know the rest of it. So they said they ain't playing around, and they want to let everybody know that as long as these other people have militias, they're going to make a militia. They're going to protect our community. What do you guys think about a group and an organization of that size showing that type of force and strength and solidarity? What do y'all think about that?
Hey, that's your constitutional right, bro. You know what I'm saying? So
anybody
got anything else to say after that, you know what I'm saying? Exactly, you know?
Yeah.
That should be the answer every time. It's my constitutional right.
So
the
thing
is
that if you – go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I don't understand why – and don't get me wrong, Kev. I know why you're posing it as a question. But I'm not completely sure I understand why it's always posed as a question when it comes to – black people exercising their constitutional rights. You got all these tiki torch sandal wearing guys that go out and they have their constitutional rights. You've got groups with guns going to the state capitol in Michigan with their guns. That's their constitutional right. In Oregon, they took over a federal building at gunpoint, and they're
sure
just saying, oh, that's their constitutional right. You have the Sons of the Confederate Veterans at a Confederate statue in Biloxi, Mississippi. They're exercising their constitutional right. Why is it that when black people come out with their guns, it's a question of your constitutional right? Why is it even questioned then? Which leads to my theory that they just don't think we're Americans.
That's
you
correct.
Know why? It's something that Jen said earlier. We always trying to make other people feel comfortable. We always trying to make other people feel safe. And that's the bottom line of it all, because even in the article that was posted by Newsweek.com, the title of it is Armed Black Demonstrators. Come on, man. Do they ever say that?
Right.
Do they ever say that about
right.
anybody else? When you see the demonstrators at the capitals, at these courthouses, they don't never say armed white demonstrators. They just say, protesters or whatever they want to call them, militias or whatever
Patriots.
They want to call them. But when we come, out, armed black demonstrators, why they couldn't say black demonstrators are challenge white supremacy? But hey, I digress. It's all good.
Hey, man.
But also, quickly, briefly, we can go ahead and talk about the gentlemen down in New Orleans that I know y'all seen the clip of the young brother, you know, same thing you just posed to Nick. Why is it a problem when you come out? I think the day before these young men came out, there was a group of militias, white militia came out and were trying to intimidate children, women,
mm-hmm.
and older people out there demonstrating. And as the young man said in the clip, there was one phone call made, and at the drop of a dime, they were there, ready to take
yep.
up for the people. So I think that is a great thing to see. What are y'all thoughts on that young brother right there and what he was saying in that clip? And if you haven't seen it, it is on the Middleman Talk Show page. Click on it. I'm going to post it up as an announcement so everybody can see it.
Powerful, bro.
I love it.
Powerful.
I thought it was powerful too.
Powerful. And that's what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to, you know, come and help our own. Just like, you know, if you had any trouble in school, you always went and got your big brother or big sister, right? Same thing, bro. We got to have the same mentality. Like, we got to get back to the we and the family and the village part of it instead of being the I, man. And doing this is bringing back the family and the we, because we are caring about the lives of others, of our people, and the safety and well-being. We all want to be happy and feel like we can walk proudly anywhere. Like, instead of, you know, having someone who think that you're trying to intimidate, man, forget that. So yeah, man,
and also tearing down or not accepting these stereotypes. Like, our black men, I know way too many black fathers that are good fathers that are in their children's lives. I know lots of black families that have, you know, two parent households. I know, you know, black men that have a job and go to work every day that aren't, you know, the bottom barrel of the society. And we need to stop accepting these stereotypes that we are all of these things except the greatness that we are. We accept the low casting of, you know, whatever they want to portray us to be when we're not. We are, you know, we do have men that protect our communities in our community. We do have educators, and we do have black business owners, and we're just not accepting it anymore. Not acceptable. And that's what I like that it said. It's like, this is not acceptable, and we don't have to take it.
I'll say this much, because I agree with you, Jim, 100%. This is where I want to make a call for accountability. You know, I'm in these different gun owner groups and all these different things on Facebook and Twitter and Black Planet. Yes, I do have a Black Planet account. Yes, Black Planet is still up. Please go to Black Planet because it is black owned. But so here's the issue that I see with a lot of this. They put in one call because it was largely women that were out protesting the day before when that militia came out there trying to intimidate them. And I appreciate those brothers for coming out like that. I need all my brothers to do that, whether you have a gun or not.
Mm-hmm.
There's over 30,000 people in one of these gun groups I'm in, one of these black gun groups I'm in. Don't just talk the talk on social media. Don't just talk the talk on social media. We have to protect our community. And I know there's a bunch of us that do, but it's a lot of us that still don't. And get into that whole, well, it ain't got nothing to do with me type of situation. But if it's you in the situation, you want somebody to come to your rescue, particularly when it's our black women that are out here and they're protesting. And here, make no mistake about it, black women have always been at the forefront of protest and fighting for rights in this country. And it is incumbent upon us as men to stand right beside them, not in front of them, not overshadowing them, but standing there right beside them. And when it is a situation where somebody does come out and they're trying to intimidate them, that's when we step in front. Nah, player, it's not happening like that. Not today.
Right.
Not today.
And you know the crazy part about it, Nick, you ever notice that the first group of people in our community that is attacked when anything happens is our women and our children.
Mm-hmm.
They attack them first. They don't come at us with that foolishness. And
some of us have gotten to the point now that they don't have to come to us with that foolishness because we'll back away from it.
Yeah, that is true.
And that's the unfortunate part. When the first Voting Rights Act was signed, and it was only men in this country that were able to, and particularly black men. In North Carolina, when those black men went to go vote and the Klan showed up, who was outside protecting it? It was black women outside with Winchester rifles surrounding the entrance saying, y'all not coming in here. They're going to go in here and they're going to vote. We got to return the favor. We got to return the favor,
yeah.
Man. I'm not saying that no black men are doing it or that a good number of black men are doing it. That's not what I'm saying at all. This has to be second nature. It has to be second nature that we all do.
Yeah. Yeah. Great show. Great show. I think we covered a lot of topics today. We appreciate everybody that's online listening. We appreciate everybody that stayed on the phone, Bill, from Hear Me Out. Y'all support that young man. Look for some great things to come from him. Smitty out there in Arizona, appreciate you, fam. Hell, let him know what we talked about today so we can give him a quick rundown on what we talked about today, brother.
Oh, my God. Man, we talked about so much today. Definitely go back and listen. We definitely covered Kanye West and his announcement of the potential candidacy for president. Your thoughts on that. We also had a great discussion on Terry Crews and his defense of the Black Lives Better tweet. You can definitely check out the full interview he had on Roland Martin Unfiltered as well. You can look at that on our Facebook page. We also discussed a Mississippi commissioner, Gail, say her full name, Nick, if you don't mind.
Gail Harrison Welch.
Gail Harrison Welch, man. Definitely discussed her comments about the blacks holding mass voter registration and also Harry Sanders down in Columbus, Mississippi, who also had something to say as well. We also discussed the NFL bringing in the Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing, to be played for 1 week before the National Anthem. And we also talked about the NFAC, a militia over in Stone Mountain, Georgia, showed some unity and power to let people know, man, hey, they ain't afraid of nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, no effing around. Like, that's what they're talking about. So definitely go back and check out the show. We want to hear your thoughts on these particular topics. Check our Facebook page, The Middleman Talk Show. And look at the polls, man, and see what we got going on in there and see what we will have coming up for you guys next as well. We definitely appreciate it.
Al, you forgot one topic that we discussed. McDonald's.
Don't do it.
Okay. We appreciate everybody. If you're listening to the show and you're not a part of the Middleman Facebook group, please head over to Facebook, Middleman Talk Show. Make sure that you are liking and liking the page.
Man.
Also subscribe to us on your favorite media platform. Please, 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 I say this every week, support black media. These conversations don't happen in mainstream media, not to this level. Support black media. And I want to give a special shout out this week. I'm going to start doing this every week because I want you guys to know that it's more than just what you see on CNN, MSNBC, and Fox. I want to shout out Shalonda Spencer with Politics for the Culture. It's a podcast that you can get on Apple Music, the same place that you Apple Podcasts, the same place you can get the Middleman Talk Show and other podcast outlets. Shalonda is a political strategist based in Jackson, Mississippi. Really intelligent, really dynamic sister. Has a podcast you should definitely check out. So support black media any way you can.
Yep, and shout out to Cotton Kings and all the other people that support us and all the other black-owned businesses and companies and individuals out there. Shout out to you. If you need us, let us know. We're trying to build something here like you're trying to build something there. We out.
Peace.